Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad to not be serving old people, specifically rich, old, evil people.
I mean, you're in Florida.
That's true. I mean, I'm serving old people indirectly with their entertainment, but not rich, old, evil people. I try and steer clear of them.
I've had to serve rich. I think anyone, I don't know. I've had my share of rich, old, evil people in Florida that I've had to help.
Well, that's just sad.
It is sad. Hey, guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. You can gain access to all of our bonus content. Yeah, please check that out. Really encourage you to do so. Also, if you want to help us out in another way, go on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe, all those good things. Really helps us out. Word of mouth reviews and suggestions and all those things are also greatly appreciated. This week's episode is Homer the Smithers, episode 3F14, originally aired February 25th, 1996. Written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Stephen Dean Moore. Finished 60th in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 8.8, fifth highest rated show on Fox that week following The X-Files, Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place, and Married with Children.
So, you know, the usual murderer's row.
Yeah, the murderer's row. I'm surprised Married with Children is still doing so well. It was that far.
I thought it was canceled by then.
Aired for 11 seasons. Jeez.
Wow.
Went to 1997, so it was almost over, but it went for a long... I did not realize it went for 11 seasons.
Wow.
It's quite an achievement. The couch gag is the Simpsons are wearing fezes, and they drive the couch in little tiny cars. Right. Yep. The episode begins with employee night, nuclear plant employee night at the raceway, the racetrack, the drag strip, however you want to. It's not like an oval. It's just a straight line deal.
Yeah. So it's just drag racing.
Drag racing. Yeah. Burns introduces the knight with cue cards. Of course, he can't remember his own name. Homer wears a gigantic hat. I thought I needed to note that. Where do you get a hat that large?
I honestly don't know. I assume in that day and age before the internet, he probably had to have it custom made.
Custom made giant hat? You think there wasn't some novelty store at the mall that could sell a giant hat?
Probably. I feel like that's the kind of thing that would happen in malls in the 90s.
We also get a nice dose of the racetrack announcer.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to an evening of exciting quarter mile action, action, action. Our first race is a benefit for Daredevil Lance Murdoch, who's hospitalized with cirrhosis of the liver.
Yay!
All right, liver!
Homer's very enthused about livers.
Well, Homer's really happy about the beer.
Burns isn't feeling anything from the teaspoon of beer he's getting at a time. So I believe Smithers is going to up it to the tablespoon. It's very important. But Burns, everyone's just watching the races and having a good time drinking, and Burns is not happy with how his nuclear power plant championship race is going, in that it is going too fast, because these are, funny cars, whatever they're called? I forget the actual name for these.
I think they're just straight up drag racers. I think funny cars look like stock cars with bigger back wheels.
Oh, okay. Isn't there a special name for these kind of drag racer cars?
There probably is, but I'm unfamiliar enough to not know it.
I'm too divorced from my southern roots to know the name. But they go too fast. Smithers goes out, stalks them. They go very, very slow. I don't even think that first gear would... I don't think those cars are capable of doing that. Like, don't they have to be pushed to get anywhere that's not super fast?
That's not the actual drag strip, yeah, because their wheels don't get a proper traction or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, it doesn't matter. That's just me being a nerd.
Pedantic. But they're too fast, and Mr. Burns can't keep up.
He can't keep up, and I don't blame him. It's kind of the reason I don't like those. I've watched motorsports before in my life, and I've never really enjoyed drag racing. It's just too fast. It's over so quick.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we're going to sit here for 20 minutes and wait for a couple guys for a race that lasts 8 seconds.
If I'm going to be sitting and watching a sporting event, I need time to get drunk. It's important. I need to get at least 3 beers. But the night's over. Everyone's had a good time. Burns and Smithers are leaving. Burns, however, is not happy with his giant novelty hand. He would like a smaller giant novelty hand, one that is less ridiculous. Smithers recuses himself to go get that, and Burns is confronted. He's in the safety of his car, by the way, setting the scene for this. He's in the safety of his car, windows are rolled up, right? Or he rolls up the window.
Yes.
He rolls up the window when Lenny appears. Lenny appears drunk and terrifies Mr. Burns.
Hey, Burnsy! This was some swell shindig. Thank you very much.
Smithers, what's happening?
I had a great time. I just want to shake your hand.
Smithers, help!
Doesn't seem as funny to me, but what do I know?
Smithers!
Oh, my God.
You should have seen the murderous glint in his eyes, Smithers. And his breath reeked of beer and pretzeled bread.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Burns. This was all my fault.
No, don't concern yourself. If things had turned ugly, I always had my mace.
Don't let me off the hook that easily, sir. I failed you, and I'll never forgive myself. Never, 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 never. Never, never, never.
I just enjoy that his mace is an actual mace. It's not a spray. It's a flail, essentially.
I was going to say, that's a flail. That's not a proper mace.
Technically, yes.
A mace is connected to the handle directly. Correct. The flail is connected with a chain. I like how a flail looks more, but I think a mace would probably actually be more effective in combat.
Probably. I feel like a mace is, especially once, because I feel like a flail, you generally always see the spiky ball on the end of the chain, whereas maces could have had anything as the head, and most of them look like giant hammers. They were used quite frequently.
And are easier control. You know, you don't have to swing.
Yeah.
You just have to, you know, you don't have to, like, loop it around in a big circle. You just have to whap people. But Burns is terrified by his confrontation with...
His confrontation where Lenny tried to thank him and shake his hand.
And gave him a thumbs up at the end. I really like that. That was the final coup de grace. The what set Burns over the edge of terror is a thumbs up. It's very scary.
How dare he?
Very scary. But you can hear Smithers. He's upset. He blames himself. The next day, he tries to work harder to compensate for Burns's, for his, I guess, his error. And he... alphabetizes his breakfast from waffles to something with a Z or an X. Zweiback. What's that?
I have no idea. I think it is a type of bread.
I don't know how to spell it, so it's going to be difficult.
Yes. Zweieback. Zweiback.
Is that bread?
Yes. It is a rusk or cracker by baking a small loaf and then toasting slices until they are dry and crisp.
It's a lot of carbs.
More evidence of Burns' German heritage.
I was going to say, it's a lot of carbs for the breakfast if he's just having waffles and bread.
Pretty much, yeah.
How much is that Mr. Burns actually going to eat?
No, Mr. Burns, maybe a bite, possibly two.
Yeah, but then he laminates Burns' newspaper, which Burns appreciates the effort, but he can't do his junior jumble if it's laminated.
Well, he could if he got the right kind of pen, lazy Mr. Burns.
That's not Burns' job. That's Smithers' job, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But Smithers is so down on himself, he tries to drown himself in the water cooler. Burns actually is pretty clever in that he just dumps out all the water so that Smithers can't do it. I like it. It's a little touch.
it's a good touch, yeah. He drains it a little bit at a time, and it's just enough that Smithers can't drown himself.
But Burns has noticed Smithers is, you know, in this sour mood and is blaming himself for everything. And this Burns thinks he's fine now. He is forcing Smithers to go on a vacation, which is like the worst thing you could do to Smithers because it is taking him away from Mr. Burns. And Smithers has that. I mean, it's taking Burns away from him. It is also forcing him to try and find a recruit to replace him temporarily.
And, that search just does not seem to go very well.
Well, Smithers doesn't want to find someone good, though. He doesn't want to be replaced. And so he takes to what is apparently the Springfield nuclear plant supercomputer to try and find that replacement.
I've got to find a replacement who won't outshine me. Perhaps if I search the employee evaluations for the word incompetent. 714 names. Better be more specific. Lazy. Clumsy. dim-witted, monstrously ugly. Ah, nuts to this. I'll just go get Homer Simpson.
It came up 700.
That was...
It came up 714. Sorry. Again. Yeah.
Oh, that is one of the best gags ever. It's like, oh, everyone in the plant is stupid. I'll just get Homer Simpson. It's like the one person that Smithers knows is the worst.
Yeah, he's reliably bad. Bad at his job. And then Homer gets trained very quickly.
Is this the chair I'll be sitting on?
Yeah. Now, I realize caring for Mr. Burns seems like a big job, but actually it's just 2,800 small jobs.
Uh-huh. But this is the chair, right?
Your new duties will include answering Mr. Burns' phone, preparing his tax return, moistening his eyeballs, assisting with his chewing and swallowing, lying to Congress, and some light typing. Montgomery Burns' office. Oh, hello, Mrs. Burns. I'll see if your son is available.
Mr. Burns has a mother? She must be 100 million years old.
She has limited capacities. All she can do is dial and yell.
I did not include the longer bit where we do learn that she had an affair with Taft.
Yes, of course. Taft, you dog.
He's also our heaviest president.
Indeed, and Supreme Court Justice.
Yes, which she could have been alive. They did the math. And she could. She. It's technically possible that she could have done that. It was. I mean, especially considering his career as a Supreme Court justice, maybe it was after his presidency. It's hard to say.
Definitely possible. That you could say that Taft maybe Burns' father.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he'd be so angry.
Probably not. Plus, he'd probably be a little heavier.
Yeah, Burns.
Burns is kind of that creepy skinny.
Yeah, slight. That very slight figure. But. Homer gets a crash course in being. I think that is the real problem here. Homer just does not get proper training. It's not his fault. He's expected to like be able to do all these things, and how long does he get to train? A day or two? Not reasonable. It's just not reasonable.
No.
But as Smithers is getting into the van that I guess will take him to the airport, Homer yells at the window, asking him for help, and he asks Smithers. Smithers gives him one question. For one job, and Homer asks if it's Homer asks, "What do I do in case of fire?" And Smithers is gone. And then we cut to commercial as we pan into Burns' office, which is filled with flames.
It's like nerds. That's the important question. As we come into Act Two, Homer and Burns get acquainted. Apparently, the fire situation has resolved itself. Homer found a fire extinguisher and did a very good job. Basically, getting the fire all gone. But their first meeting does not go too well for Homer because, well, Homer is mentally challenged, let's say.
Smithers already left, sir. I'm his replacement, Homer Simpson.
Simpson. I'll have my lunch now. A single pillow of shredded wheat, some steamed toast, and a dodo egg.
But I think the dodo went extinct.
Get going and answer those phones, install a computer system, and rotate my office so the window faces the hills.
Okay. Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things? The things?
So, poor Homer doesn't even have a chance. Mr. Burns is throwing ridiculous requests at him.
That's not... I mean, Homer even knows that the dodo is extinct. And Burns...
Which is impressive for him to know.
Exactly. But Burns just has insane requests. And Smithers is...
And a pillow of shredded wheat? Really? What? A whole pillow?
A pillow could just be a little tiny... Like what you get when you buy in the cereal. Like the big ones.
Oh, the big biscuit one. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you meant like an actual like bed pillow stuffed with shredded wheat.
I think it just means that is my interpretation, is that he would like one of those pillows of.
That makes more sense though.
The big ones. We haven't really gotten a look at the full requirements of Smithers' job up until this point.
But it's apparently pretty extensive.
It's crazy. Burns is a crazy man, and that it kind of shows you what who Smithers is, and what he's willing to go through to stay Burns's sycophant, his assistant or whatever.
Yeah, he really likes Mr. Burns. Essentially, is what we're trying to say. Because to put up all this crap is just nuts. It's insanity. So after this, Homer is very desperate to impress Mr. Burns. He gets up 4:30 the next morning and has to tape Little Rascals because it's on at 6. But basically, he gets up early so he can go over to Mr. Burns and make him breakfast. And first of all, his pants don't work just because, you know, pants early in the morning, they just don't work right. And then I really wish I could play you guys video, because Homer in Burns' kitchen is one of the best visual gags of this entire season. Just of all the things he tries to make, bacon and eggs don't work, catches fire, cereal catches fire. Basically everything he tries to do just catches fire immediately somehow, which is probably because there's a whole bunch of extra gas in the house, I would assume. Just, you know, there's sparks everywhere and gas, you know, being injected into all the rooms. I'm sure it's an old-timey person thing that Mr. Burns enjoys.
He likes old-timey things. That's, I think, also firmly established in this episode.
Yes, that's true. Mr. Burns loves things the way they were when he was a boy and has never bothered to catch up to anything. So Homer, since all of his other breakfast escapades failed, goes to get Mr. Burns some donuts. And, of course, Mr. Burns, not too happy about that. He calls them ethnic food, which, according to Robbie, donuts are Dutch. So I guess technically he's correct.
He is technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
That's true, but donuts are delicious. And anyone who poo-poos donuts should just be beaten until they accept the most glorious food.
I'm saying donuts, they originate technically, like, you can trace them back to a Dutch origin. So they
That's
are
true.
They
I'm
are
just saying Mr.
Food.
Burns is crazy for not liking donuts.
He's an old man. He probably couldn't eat one of those things. He'd probably die.
That's probably true. But, you know, it'd be worth it.
Is this when is this where he mentions his postum? Or is it later?
No, not yet. That's in a later diatribe.
Yeah, well, yes, of course.
Yeah. At this point, Mr. Burns throws the newspaper at Homer and tells him to tell him how his stocks did. And Homer, confused, says, oh, they all won.
I like it when my stocks win.
Great gag.
I like it when my stocks win. It's important. That's why I check every day to see all the stocks I'm rooting for.
Yeah. He basically asks Homer about his options, which why Homer would know about his stock options, I couldn't guess. But at this point, Burns decides to get up, and Homer has to do all kinds of awful things, like scrub off the dead skin and put his vampire fangs in and just, you know, all the stuff it requires to take care of an old man who can't do these things for himself.
Well, that's not true. We see that later, that he's capable.
Oh, he's capable. He just doesn't desire to. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah. But later, Homer is basically awful at being Mr. Burns' assistant. As we'll see, terrible things happen to everything that Homer touches.
Here are your messages. You have 30 minutes to move your car. You have 10 minutes. Your car has been impounded. Your car has been crushed into a cube. You have 30 minutes to move your cube. Hello, Mr. Burns' office.
Is it about my cube?
I just love how Mr. Burns rolls with the gag. Oh, is it about my cube? Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I always love that gag. But that call that you heard was Smithers calling from his vacation, just checking in to see how things were. Mr. Burns not so subtly insults Homer and tells Smithers to have fun at his vacation. And basically, Smithers offers to have Mr. Burns' mail FedEx to him so he could open it and then send it back. Because opening mail, we know how difficult that is. It's just crazy.
And yeah, and they, I believe this one, he's on the beach, right? In full. Is he in beach wear? He's like in shorts, isn't he? Or no, he's still in
suit. Shorts, but
he still has a briefcase, I think, at this point.
He definitely still has his briefcase, but I think he's in like a Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Right. Okay. But it's still, we don't, it just looks like a bland vacation behind him, like a beach, whatever.
Yes. Nothing is weird about it yet.
Nothing that stands out.
Yes. But after this phone call, we see Homer at home and he's exhausted because he's stayed up all night trying to take care of Mr. Burns. And the kids have a good idea of how to take advantage of that.
Look alive, Simpson. I'm not paying you the gold brick.
But yes, sir.
Now get cracking on my long division and don't forget to show your work, Simpson.
I'll have it on your desk in the morning, sir.
Bart, leave Simpson alone.
Simpson, I need a ride to the library.
Yes, sir.
Kid, stop exploiting your father. Homie, why don't you lie down and relax?
Outside, March. I think Mr. Burns wants me to do some long division.
Simpson, lie down. Sorry, but you need a good night's rest.
To be fair, Mr. Burns would ask Homer to do long division for no other reason than long division sucks. Just the way it is.
Well, maybe he needs it done for business.
Yes. I guess this was the 90s. Some people did math by a hand back then, I guess, still. But Homer doesn't get to rest because he hears a giant like bell dong sound that's just going and going and going. So he has to rush over to Mr. Burns's house, where he finds out that that sound was just an extremely long horn with Mr. Burns and his tiny bell at the end. Yeah.
It was really good.
Which is a great gag.
There's a lot of solid physical gags in this.
There really is. Anytime you have Homer trying to be good at something, there's probably physical humor to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out that the reason Mr. Burns called Homer is because the telephone has been ringing for a very long time.
Yeah.
We find out that it is once again Smithers calling to check up, and then the phone rang 48 times.
Homer got there pretty quick, actually, if it only rang 48 times. That's actually not that many, considering Homer would have had to get dressed, drive over to Burns' house, and then run in.
Well, he was already dressed in his work clothes.
Okay, that's true. But he still had to drive over there.
That's true. And you figure it rings once every, what, 3 seconds, 4 seconds?
Someone like that? I don't know. I've never timed it.
Yeah, so 48 rings is only a few minutes. So obviously he was breaking a lot of speed limits.
And this time we get a little bit more background on where Smithers is taking his vacation.
Yes, at this point, Smithers is, of course, concerned. Burns once again insults Homer to his face, essentially. But we see in the background of Smithers' resort that it's a dance club. There's a whole bunch of people dancing in the background, all of whom seem to be men. At this point, Smithers is in shorts and kind of dance wear, and there's lots of lasers and everything. And we find out that picture taking is not allowed at the particular resort where Smithers is.
I have a feeling that actually picture taking is fine. You just Smithers just not doesn't want to share any pictures with Mr. Burns, perhaps.
Maybe it's one of those ones where they don't allow you to take pictures because certain famous people are there who wouldn't want to be associated with such a place.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it really is.
It's hard to say. I do like that he has to get off the phone because a conga line forms behind him.
Behind him, yes.
He's like, oh, well, I gotta go. This is a law. I am forced. There's a conga line. I have to do it.
Yeah. But okay,
here, Matt, this is what we have. Smithers is single, 40 years old, and he works for Mr. Burns.
Yep, that's all we know about him. That's all we need to know about him.
Yeah.
Smithers is, of course, concerned, and Burns tells him that he's fine, that's just Homer's an idiot, which everyone knew, but, you know, calling Homer an idiot to essentially his face.
He's literally standing right next to Mr. Burns, and Burns is like, says and Mr. Burns all is like,
I'm not really
insults.
Free to talk right now.
Right after insulting him.
Yeah. But Homer is just a little perturbed by this, and we see the next day at work that Homer is still having trouble. Shocking, I know. But there is a long series of basically Homer screwing up and Mr. Burns just yelling at him constantly.
60 watts? What do you think this is, a tanning salon? I asked for light starch on my nightcap. You call this postum? You call this a tax return? You call this a supercomputer?
No! You're a travesty of a joke of an assistant.
So that at the end you heard was Homer punching Mr. Burns, which how his head did not fly off at Mr. Burns' advanced age, I could not fathom. That looked like a pretty tough punch.
It was a good punch, but it knocked him out. I mean, that itself is a pretty power. If he can knock someone unconscious with a punch, I think Homer knew that he probably, I don't know if he gave him full power or not. It's hard to say.
It seemed like it was one of those anger punches where he gave him full power. But
I mean, Homer's not a boxer yet.
Yet. but of course, after Homer punches Mr. Burns in the head, he runs home because he thinks he killed him.
That's my favorite part of this, is that Homer has a reaction of like an 8-year-old boy when he does something bad. Yeah. He's like, oh, just run away. That's just run. Yeah.
Run away and hide. Go to your house and pretend like nothing happened.
I do want to say before we get too far, postum. I didn't know what postum was. Postum was a drink that they tried to make a coffee substitute in the early or late in
it was
a late
World
1800s,
War II, wasn't it?
No, late 1800s, early 1900s. It was C.W. Post eventually got bought by General Foods, bought by Kraft Foods. He was a student of Kellogg, that terrible movie with where they, oh, was it a, where they, that's like the Matthew Broderick and is it Anthony Hopkins in that? It is The Road to Wellville.
That sounds awful enough to be right.
It had Anthony Hopkins, Bridget Fonda, Matthew Broderick, John Cusack, Dana Carvey.
Wow, those people are way too good at everything to be in a movie about such an awful subject.
It was a very strange. I did not enjoy that movie. It was on Comedy Central a lot when I was a teenager. I think that's why I know about it. Okay.
Well, that's where a movie about Kellogg belongs.
Yeah.
Hopefully on comedy.
He was a weird guy.
Yeah. There's a Great Stuff You Missed in History Class podcast about him. If you want more details, go listen to them. They do a much better job than I would. But
Homer thinks Mr. Burns might be dead.
That's true. Homer thinks Mr. Burns might be dead. Luckily, he has Marge there to say, okay, maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's just really hurt. Which is better, I guess.
Yeah.
Less jail time involved.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mr. Burns, or Homer goes back to Mr. Burns and basically creeps in. Mr. Burns is breathing heavily. He's got a black eye. He's hiding. He's terrified of Homer and just tries to get Homer to go away, essentially saying, oh, he's fine. No need to bother me. He even brewed his own coffee.
Leave me alone. I know how to.
Yeah.
He has to try and call Smithers.
Yes. He tries to call Smithers. And unfortunately for him, he's never worked a telephone before. So it doesn't go 100% perfect.
We've seen people activate this machine 1,000 times. Doesn't seem to be any trick to it. Let's see, Smithers. S-M-I-T-H-E-R-S. Success! It's ringing!
Moe's Tavern.
I'm looking for a Mr. Smithers. First name, Whalen.
Oh, so you're looking for a Mr. Smithers, eh? First name, Whalen, is it?
Listen to me, you. When I catch you, I'm going to pull out your eyes and shove them down your pants so you can watch me kick the crap out of you, okay?
Then I'm going to use your tongue to paint my boat.
Yeah, at that point, Burns does not hang up. He puts the phone in a drawer and closes it.
And locks it. That's the other thing. He puts it in the drawer, closes it, locks it. So the phone.
Because Mo is going to come through the phone, tear out his eyes, put it down in his pants so he can watch him kick the crap out of Mr. Burns.
I just paint his boat with his tongue?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, that's very good. But, you know, that at that point, Mr. Burns drives himself home because, once again, he is still scared of Homer. And he does a great job. Turns out he loves driving. He's really good at it. He only runs over a few dozen people. But because he's rich, Chief Wiggum just kind of looks the other way. But Burns is very excited about this. He's like, he thinks that he has avoided doing things for himself his entire life. But turns out a lot of them are kind of fun. So the next day. When he shows up to work, Homer comes in and says, oh, Mr. Burns made his own coffee. He's taught himself how to use the telephone. He says, ahoy, hoy, because apparently he was friends with Edison, because that's just what I guess.
It's not Edison.
Ahoy, hoy?
It's Graham Bell. We saw Alexander Graham Bell.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I thought Edison was the one that came up with ahoy, hoy.
I don't think so. Bell's preferred
you're right.
Salutation.
Yep, Bell.
I'll take your formal apology in writing.
Yeah, sure, whatever you say.
As long as you agree.
So apparently he picked up on phones when they first started and never has since. But at this point, Smithers walks in to find Burns thanking Homer and giving him a hug, something he, I'm sure, has never, ever even given, close to being given Smithers. But at this point, Burns sends Homer back to Sector 7G, because apparently now that Burns is self-sufficient, he's learned where Homer actually works and who he is. and then he promptly fires Smithers, because he is no longer necessary.
And Homer does say, you shouldn't have gone on vacation.
Even though he was, you know, forced.
Poor Smithers.
He just can't win. Oh, we go to commercial. Oh, sorry.
Okay. I need that. Homer, it feels bad about Smithers being fired, even though it's not, I guess it's sort of his fault, but it's not really his fault. I mean, it's just Burns becoming self-reliant. Like that, I guess Homer forced him to do that by being so bad. I mean, but Smithers hired Homer. What does he, like, what did he expect to happen?
I don't know. Homer to fail miserably, and Smithers to come in to pick up the pieces.
Homer did fail miserably. He punched Mr. Burns in the face. Like, I don't know how much more.
I don't think even Smithers expected him to fail that hard.
Okay, but Smithers has been looking for other work. He is a piano mover until we find out that he would now need a new rod to replace his spine. I don't know how Smithers is moving pianos, but he's doing it in a very bad way.
I'm sure one fell on him or something, it seems like.
We get Smithers trying to be a drag strip announcer.
Get ready for exciting quarter-mile action at the Springfield Drag Strip. It'll be motorized mayhem, mayhem, mayhem. We need all those mayhems. We do. All right, fair enough. Suppose you know your business. Get ready for fun, fun, fun. People are already here. We don't need to keep hustling them like this, do we? Hey, let go of me. Where are you throwing me?
Hello? You had a help wanted sign on the window?
Yeah, I need someone to help me with the midnight beer delivery. Your job is to distract Barney until it's safely off the truck.
I'll just wait out back until then.
I look forward to working with you!
Mr. Smithers, wait!
You can't let yourself end up in a place like this. You've got two choices. You can give up on yourself and take the Barney guarding job, like so many of us have contemplated in our darkest moments. Or you can admit to yourself there's only one person that can make you happy and do whatever it takes to get them back.
You're right. But I'm going to need your help.
And then we cut to a quick scene where Barney is apparently, he's like a wild animal. Near the beer truck?
Well, when beer is involved, yeah, yeah. The poor beer delivery guy just he gets mowed down.
Mowed down? No, he gets Barneyed down.
But
you get it?
Yep.
Because yep. Barney, not Mo.
I gotcha.
Okay, cool. So Homer Smithers cook up a plan. To get Smithers back in good graces, to get him rehired. It involves Burns's mother, which they call and are going to transfer it to Burns. And it's the one thing Burns hasn't been able to learn, how to deal with his own mother. Homer just doesn't know how to operate a phone, so he has to try and trick him.
I'm transferring a call into you, Mr. Burns.
No problemo. Ahoy, ahoy. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Burns. This is your mother.
No. Gah. Oh, hello, Mater. Sorry about pulling the plug on you and all. Who could have known you'd pull through and live for another 5 decades? Oh, is my face red?
Mrs. Burns is 122 years old, so try to sound more desiccated. And she doesn't call her son Mr. Burns.
Son? This is Mrs. Burns. I just called to say I don't love you. You are a bad son, Montel.
So, impersonate my mother, will you? And you, Smithers, you must have put him up to it. I'm glad I fired you.
You really blew it this time, Smithers.
Homer's impersonation is spectacular.
It really is. I thought it was her. I always assumed that was the old woman until I watched it and I was like, oh, that's Homer. I get it now.
She's 122 years old, which would have made her the oldest person on Earth at the time, at least verified. And yeah. Burns is 104 is in this episode.
Yes, that changes from episode to episode, obviously.
Do I hear a kitty cat, Matt?
Yeah, sorry. It's dinner time.
Meow. Bye, cat. So, and this is again another spectacular visual sequence where Burns tries to break up Homer and Smithers fighting. They get into a fist fight. They are running around, banging themselves around the office, throwing each other, punching, all kinds of stuff. It's really great. Burns tries to break it up by first popping a paper bag near them.
Oh, yes, he's trying to scare them in case they have hiccups.
Throw some water at them, and then poking them with a ruler. Those are things that won't even work on, like, two cats fighting. I don't think they would work on two grown men. But eventually, Burns climbs up his stuffed bear, his taxidermy bear, and to try and get above it away from the fighting. And in their rage, in the fight, Homer and Smithers knock over the bear, which Burns falls off of it and out the window. And then that's...
Well, you know, windows like that break so easily.
It's an old window.
Sure.
Old window, but... Well, mm-hmm. Burns is very dense.
Sure he is. He doesn't get blown away by the wind on several occasions.
He had a bullet in his pocket. The bullet hit the window first.
Oh, of course. That makes sense.
No, it doesn't, but thank you. That stops the fight, at least, when they worry they might have murdered Mr. Burns. But then we cut to Smithers taking care of Burns again. And Burns kind of like trying to like say, I don't need this. I can do this all on my own. I don't need your help. And then we see him kind of fall back into the normal relationship.
He regresses to old patterns.
Yes.
Here comes the endangered condor into the power lines. Mm. 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 I've got Bobo hot from the dryer. Careful not to burn yourself on his eye.
I don't need you to do any of this. I'm totally self-reliant now. What I would like, though, is a Spanish peanut. Skin. It's a remarkable thing. In the short time you were gone, I learned to be completely self-reliant. And as for that brutish fellow who knocked me out the window, see that he gets what's coming to him.
I already have, sir.
What'd you get that for?
For knocking Mr. Burns out of a third-story window.
Makes sense to me. Did he die?
What am I, a doctor?
Did he die? I don't know, but I got some cool stuff out of it.
Yeah, the Simpsons get a gift basket. Smithers thanks them for getting him his job back. Does not totally. If Burns was probably still capable, he would have done a lot worse. But because Smithers now is basically, I don't know. I think that's interesting. I think they haven't ever actually gone further in exploring that. You know, I don't think they've explored that enough with how much power Smithers actually has in that relationship.
That's true. I would love for there to be an episode about how Smithers is behind the scenes using Mr. Burns' power to support causes that Mr. Burns definitely would not. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah. I can't think of it. If any time they've actually done that, but that doesn't mean they haven't. I can't think of any, though.
No.
But it's a good episode. It's a funny episode.
It's a really funny episode, and there's a little bit of heartwarmingness between Smithers and Mr. Burns.
No, I don't know. It's more just it's all about like I think that the really like thought provoking things in this one are just like the in depth look at Smithers and how he. I think there's been the new episode from this past week was kind of comparing Smithers and Marge. And, like, how actually close to each other they are, like, in their roles in Springfield, where they both mm-hmm. have to serve, like, a person that not many other people see any kind of value in, and they both adore them. It's an interesting look at his, like, what his job entails and how he's the only one on Earth who could do it, probably, and do it well. But it's, you know, it's a fun romp. It's a fun twist on that Homer gets a new job.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be more interesting if Homer took other people's jobs, which we've had. He has become the sanitation commissioner. He has become the chief of police.
He's become Mo.
He's been Smithers. He's become Mo. Let's see. He hasn't really become a Pooh yet. Not really.
He was Marge.
He was Marge several times.
Several times.
Let's see. Who else? Homer hasn't taught anybody, although Marge took the teacher job.
He was a teacher.
For a little bit.
He was a public education. He was at the
but he wasn't like the kids' teacher. I would love to see Homer teach Springfield Elementary.
Spec script. Put that on the spec script list. Homer becomes elementary school teacher. Shop teacher. How about that? Shop teacher Homer.
That would be great.
Or gym teacher Homer.
Either one of those.
But I don't know. I wouldn't call it it's one I always like and enjoy watching, but it's not, I don't know. It's not amazing. It's just good. You going to fight with me about it, Matt?
Not really. I think I enjoy it more than you do just because it's so funny and I really enjoy the character of Smithers and I really, really like the interaction between Mr. Burns and Homer. But I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, oh, it's easily top 10 or something like that.
It is a little unevenly paced.
A little, but yeah.
The second act is really, really long compared to the first and third acts.
Yeah.
it's 10 minutes long, and the other acts are, you know, six apiece. I prefer, like, even, a nice 7 to 8 minutes in each one.
Yeah.
I don't know. The episode still moves very well, and it does have good cliffhangers. I guess that is a lot of the time it seems when they build their acts around, is this will be the thing at the very end. Like, here's a joke at the end of this act. Here's a big thing that happened. Like, the end of the first act, the office is on fire. The end of the second act, Smithers is fired. Ooh, hey, fire and fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. No fire at the end, though.
No,
just,
thank goodness.
Just a gift basket. We will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode for this episode, but if you have a particular episode that is your favorite, submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com explaining why it is your favorite, and I will read your answer, your submission, when we get to that particular episode. Guess what, Matt?
What?
And it's time for our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, yeah. Here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments to the news group is where I'll comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group that is archived on Google Groups that were running alongside the show. One of the first shows that had basically the internet with it the entire time. It's even made fun of in the show. I look like a week or two after episode debuts to see what they're talking about, see what they thought about the episode. Mostly positive, mostly A's and B's.
Which is unusual, but hey, we'll take it.
I don't think I don't, there's a couple. There's always a couple like, no, I didn't like it. It wasn't funny. I don't know.
Those people were wrong and stupid.
I don't know what to do with those people. But yeah, it's mostly positive. Also, a lot of people going, okay, can we finally stop asking him if Smithers is gay? Can we finally stop asking that now?
Yeah, seriously.
Come on. He's at an all-male vacation resort. It's not that confusing. Let it go. It's fine. Also, I think I found a couple things that I thought were funny. Someone posting about watching the SAG Awards. On the SAG Awards on Saturday night, yes, I admit I have no life and watched a stupid award show Saturday. They did a brief segment on backup singers. Among them were the singers from We Do. So it's probably the only non-SAG member in the entire country who watched that show. I thought I'd mention it.
Nice.
So the backup singers from Homer the Great, We Do, Stonecutter Song. Or mentioned in an award show. I think that's neat. Also, some person commented on the news group saying, my soon-to-be wife will not let me name my soon-to-be son Homer. He's asking for support from the people on the news group. Okay. Gentleman from 1996. I don't know when his son's going to be born, but
yeah.
If your wife doesn't want to name your kid something, probably just let it go. Probably not gonna.
Seriously, just especially a name like Homer. I mean, that's just.
I would not name a kid Homer. It's not.
No.
No. I don't. I mean, yeah, we love Homer, but I don't want to. I would not give a kid that name. That seems cruel.
Even before The Simpsons were a thing, that was a cruel name to have.
I mean, there's the Greek Homer. There's that, but that's.
Yeah, that's just not a name you hear that often.
No, really don't. It's kind of give your. I'm glad to have a relatively normal name. Oh, good cat. What are you doing?
Wants to be on the show, obviously.
Okay, but that's it. Not much else. Little notes here and there. A lot of people. Always the same. It's always the same. In the backgrounds. We can move on to the next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite word or phrase that The Simpsons made up? Tons of great answers. Appreciate all of them. First up, we have Gretchen. Her answer, yoink. And she has a postscript.
That's a good one.
She has a postscript. Wow, after checking that list, apparently even more of my vocabulary was shaped by The Simpsons than I realized. Which is yes. I think that's a very, actually staggering thing about how much of like modern vocabulary and our lexicon has been shaped by the show. Justin's answer, anywho, which I've been using for so long I forgot it. I got it from Homer. Now I feel old. James' answer, I've been known to use the word cromulent to my students, which confuses them as I'm an ESL teacher. Oh, well, I mean, they can learn cromulent as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any foreign language like any words that you could translate that. I think it's probably cromulent in every language.
Yes, it's one of those words that transcends languages, like computer. Computer is practically the same in every language.
Or Coca-Cola.
That too.
Nick's answer, the word that's entered my everyday vocabulary is craptacular. I always try to say it as sarcastically as Bart does. Sean's answer, I'm surprised no one has said the ultimate one so far. Doe. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I don't actually say that much.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I feel like I'm like a fraud when I say doe. I feel like it.
Yeah, is, it's something that everyone would say.
It feels like, well, I mean, it feels like Homer's word. I feel like I shouldn't take it from Homer. I want Homer to, it's Homer's word. I can't deliver it the same way that Dan Castellaneta can.
No one really seen, I've never heard anyone but Dan Castellaneta deliver it the way he does.
Graham's answer, when asking for spoons, I asked for that metal dealie you use to dig food?
Yep, that's exactly the one.
That's good. Upcar, speed holes.
Nah.
I like speed holes. Holly, stabby. I say I'm feeling stabby all the time. That is pretty.
They really make up that word?
Yeah, I think popular. I don't know if they.
Okay, popular.
Have you ever heard that word stabby that is not being either in The Simpsons or being referenced to The Simpsons?
Yeah.
I don't think I have. Mm. Who says the word stabby and they're not actually, they didn't get it from The Simpsons?
I don't know. I feel like that's one of those words that maybe it did start with The Simpsons. You're right. But it's gotten to the point now where there are people like my parents who use it and who have seen one Simpsons episode their entire life.
I think they just got it from everyone else who also you got it from The Simpsons.
Possibly, although I feel like
it's been 20 years.
Taking a verb and adding E to the end of it is pretty common.
Craptacular is not like a, it's not that it's necessary. I'm not necessarily saying that they like, they popularized it. No one else. I've never seen it in any other form of popular fiction. Stabby's the only, and if it has, it's only been after this that episode. I've never seen it before that in anything.
Fair enough.
We got to get some like wordologists in here. To trace these words around.
Some wordologists.
That's the word, right?
You mean etymologist?
Yeah, well, like I said, wordologist.
Uh-huh.
Joshua's answer.
Your Latin is atrocious.
I'm an English major, Matt. I win. I win this argument. Uh-huh. I just have to give that down. Joshua's answer, dollar-a-doo would have to be mine. Every time I spend an insane amount of money this day, I say to myself, $900 dollar-a-doos. Tim's answer, meh. I like that. That's all he included, too, because it's very appropriate. Spike at Your Apocalypse. The obvious choices are big and cromulent, but the humble meh is the most significant, which I would argue that, yeah, it probably is the word that is most used of anything that's been popularized by The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I don't think any other word meh is like a normal word now. Even like if I say cromulent, everyone goes, oh, it's a Simpsons word. If they know meh, they go, oh, it's just a word.
Yeah, so we've been using meth forever. It's like, cool, man.
We have Mr. Peanut Butter at Trap King Chris. Trembopoline. Tom at Tom O'Degri? Dowry? I'm saying that wrong. I'm sorry. Sticktuitiveness. Deb at DebStringer70. Quidjibo. Tom at EGG Kitten. Saxophone. Dorcas Maximus at MP256. Inbiggin. Feels very realistic. Doesn't feel made up. Dan at Smokin' Dan, nothing can possibly go wrong. I never say possibly anymore, even if it's the first thing that's ever gone wrong. And finally, Andrew at the Andrew blog. Sacrilicious is akin to one of those German words that perfectly describes a phenomenon English doesn't have a term for.
That is true.
Sacrilicious is a good one. Matt, what is your answer?
Well, I do like sacrilicious. I'm surprised no one actually picked Christatunity, because that's amazing. It's also one of those kind of German words there's a word for one of those. Whatever. All right, moving past that, I definitely have to go with meh, just because I use it dozens of times a day. And before that, what did we have? Just doesn't get it across. Makes people think you're Canadian. Meh is perfect.
No, Canadian's not Canadian's a.
Whatever, close enough.
I live here, Matt. I get it. I know. I had a discussion yesterday. with a hair cutter about A's. So yeah,
with a hair cutter,
a stylist. I'm good with words, Matt. No arguments.
Yeah. Sure, you are, English major.
My favorite. My answer is impossible.
Nice.
I like impossible as an English major. I like impossible. I mean, there's tons of great answers.
Yeah.
Next week's question. What is your favorite Burns quote? We may have done this question before, but I like it, and we're doing it again. I don't care. I'm in charge. I decide. It's a good question. There's lots of great answers. I'll post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. You can reach out to us any of those places, like, follow, subscribe, social media words. Matt?
Hmm.
It's time, once again.
Oh, no.
For the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. The host that loses has to try and attempt to eat 64 slices of American cheese in a single sitting. I am currently down by 8 points. That is not acceptable. I need those points.
Well,
Matt,
then.
Matt, you ready for an easy question?
I am ready.
What is Mr. Burns' full name?
Charles Montgomery Burns.
That is correct.
Are you ready for your easy question?
Shoot.
What mountain did Homer climb in King of the Hill?
That's an easy question? Is it,
I thought it was pretty easy.
Is it Mount Kilimanjaro or stupid something that...
I'll give you a hint. It is a made-up for the show name.
I don't... That's not easy. Mount Springfield?
Dang.
I haven't seen that episode in a long time. Mount Springfield. I don't know.
That's a good episode.
It's fine.
Sorry, it is the Murder Horn.
The Murder Horn. Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. This episode's not that good. It's okay.
I thought it was pretty funny. I really liked that episode. I mean, the apple bars thing, that's great. Sorry. Go on.
Your medium question. Burns was left in the possession of a $1 trillion bill by what president?
Harry S. Truman. Wow. My brain. Yeah, sorry. Truman.
That is correct.
I was like, wait, was it World War One or Two? I just can't remember. Burns has been alive for so many giant wars.
It's for the Spanish-American War.
Yes, obviously. All right, your medium question. Who does McBain fight in the beginning of King of the Hill when they're watching the movie?
You are crazy, Matt. You think that's a medium question. Did you just watch this episode and went like, well, I'm just going to pick...
No, I haven't seen it in a really long time. I just...
I mean,
I guess I thought it was more memorable than it really was.
Yeah. I don't know. What's the name of the villain he always fights?
Mendoza, but it has nothing to do with him. I'll give you that.
But I don't know.
Has to do with political groups.
You're crazy. I don't know. I have no idea. Democrats.
Sorry, it is the commie Nazis.
Yeah, you are a nutcase, man. You think that's a medium question? Yeah, maybe if I'd watched that episode yesterday.
Sorry, man. You're not going to like the hard question, then.
Yeah, I bet. I wonder. In the seemingly never-ending story, Burns loses his fortune in a scavenger hunt. What item is he unable to procure?
Is it a picture of him with a smiling child?
That is correct.
Yes!
You're such...
I can't believe I remembered that.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe how I know all these reasonably difficult questions from Robbie, and yet my impossible questions, he doesn't know the answers. It's crazy.
I know, it's weird, right?
It's crazy how I always know these.
I know.
It's always a surprise. Yeah, I don't know either.
All right, so... Okay.
What is my hard question, Matt? Give it to me. How many teeth does Homer show in the fourth frame of the second minute of
Not that hard. Okay. What was the name of the hiker Grandpa betrayed when he attempted to climb the Murder Horn?
I don't know. Homer uses him as a sled down the mountain. I remember that. But Bernard...
I can give you a point for that.
Bernardus.
One out of three.
Bernardus Johnson.
All right. His name is actually McAllister.
Oh, that's fine.
But I didn't give you one point.
Petty points. You keep your petty points. I'll lose. I don't care.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, your 8 point lead is now a 14 point lead.
I promise it wasn't trying that hard.
You're welcome. I see how it is. All right.
I promise I wasn't trying that hard.
We'll see how it is, Matt. I see how it is. All right. You declare it's an act of war, then it is. That's how it works.
No, I don't want war.
You get war. That's what you get for Christmas. War. Okay, I have bonus questions from John Winchester. I have to specify which John, because now I got multiple Johns sending me bonus questions.
Oh, yeah.
These are all from Itchy and Scratchy the Movie. I want them quick. I want quick answers. I don't know what you're thinking.
All right.
What is the, I guess, what would the actual word for this be? The subtitle, I guess. What is the subtitle of the Star Trek film shown at the start of the episode?
So Very Tired.
That is correct. What are the two food options Homer suggests he will bring back from the parent-teacher meeting?
Pizza or poison.
On the car journey, Homer thinks of a number between 1 and 50. What is that number?
37.
How are you getting all these right? You're crazy.
I don't know.
What does the banner on the school say upon arrival?
Let's share the blame.
I hate you. What atrocities is what atrocities is Bart guilty of, according to the list read out by Mrs. Krabappel?
The only one I really remember is replacing her birth control pills with Tic Tacs.
He also synthesized a laxative from peas and carrots.
That's right.
What are the three R's Homer has always been a firm believer in?
Reading the TV guide, writing the TV guide, and renewing TV guide.
That is correct. Marge imagines Bart as a stripper. If he does not get punished, what was his stripper name?
Bang Bang Bart.
Correct. After Bart breaks Grandpa's teeth, what is the first punishment Homer suggests?
Since you broke Grandpa's teeth, he gets to break yours.
That's correct. According to the advertisement, how much of the Itchy and Scratchy movie is new footage?
48%?
53%. Your first 53. Wrong answer. Damn. Jeez. What is Homer's tip for getting out of jury duty?
Just pretend you're prejudiced against all races.
That is, yes. According to Ion Springfield, Steamboat Itchy was the name of the first cartoon that came both Itchy and Scratchy, first broadcast in 1929. Broadcast a year earlier and having been rated poorly, what was the name of the film of just Scratchy?
That Happy Cat.
That is correct. What was the song Homer listened to during the moon landing?
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy. I don't know the name. That's the name of the song.
The name of the song is Yummy, Yummy, Yummy. Who wrote the novel for Itchy and Scratchy, the movie?
Norman Mailer?
Correct. Combined, how many times have Milhouse and Nelson seen the movie?
Combined, I want to say 28?
30 times.
30 times, dang.
Finally, in the future, how much do two movie tickets cost?
$120.
$650.
Okay, wow, I was off by almost an order of magnitude.
Robbie? How do I compete? I'm asking you guys out there in Radioland. How do I compete? How do I do that? How? How? This is, I think at the end of every season, I come to this point where I go, he's a monster. He's a robot. He's a Terminator. He can't be stopped.
I have been called a monster on several occasions. Don't worry.
I'm not worried. We can move on to our final segment. The segment we end every single episode with. It is time for best episode ever. Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where do you put this one, Matt?
It's a tough one, I gotta tell you. Like I said before, it's definitely not in my top 10, probably not even my top 20. I really like this episode, but the top 20 is just ridiculously good. I'm trying to think. I almost want to compare it to Homer Loves Flanders, just because the episode is about Homer and a secondary character interacting in an unusual way. I think Homer Loves Flanders is better than this.
You're correct. It is better.
Well, good to know. Now, down at 30, we've got King Size Homer, and I think it might be better than that. Maybe.
Okay. Is it better than Deep Space Homer?
It's better than Deep Space Homer. Oh, man. I don't know. As a space nerd, I find it hard to put things above Deep Space Homer.
Okay, how's it better than Homer the Heretic?
Honestly, no. No, Homer the Heretic is better.
Is it better? Okay, is it better Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2?
I really couldn't say. I feel like they're equivalent almost. I'm going to defer to you on this one.
I'll put it right behind. I put it at a new number 30.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Right above King Size Homer. I think it is similar to King Size Homer. You know, it is workplace related shenanigans with Homer, you know, failing. But I think I like this episode a little bit more than King Size Homer. I think it's a little bit funnier. I think the Smithers stuff is really interesting. I always like peeks at the supporting characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2 is, I think it's a little bit more tricky episode. You know, like it, I think it's more better crafted. You know, I think it is.
Yes,
I'm not. And Homer the Smithers is certainly funny, but and good. But it's, you know, it's unevenly paced a little bit. But other than that, it's still really good. Just not a lot of depth. You know, it's just really funny.
Yeah,
not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
It's still number 30. It's really good. That's the top fifth of the list.
I know, it's amazing.
Huh. So that puts Homer the Smithers at number 30, right above King Size Homer, right below Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. Number 1 on our list is still Cape Fear. Lastly on our list is Homer's Odyssey at 1 36.
And dropping precipitously.
Week after week, it just goes lower and lower and lower. Okay, so next week, we'll have a mailbag episode. You're still regular time, but mailbag. So just us answering questions, stuff like that, about you guys had submitted. Then the week after that is Christmas Day. We will not have an episode coming out on Christmas Day. I think people will be doing other things. Maybe not listening to podcasts.
Probably not. Unless you're traveling.
Yeah. But the week after that, which will be New Year's Day, will be our next proper episode, which is The Day the Violence Died.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
Starring Kirk Douglas, who turned 100 years old today.
And is still kicking butt.
Yeah, still alive, still doing it. But that will be on New Year's Day. So update your schedules. I will try and include a reminder in our mailbag episode about the scheduling and all that stuff. But yeah, you can find the Best Episode Ever list at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there, new episodes, downloadable and streaming, links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, links to our Patreon. If you want to throw the show a couple dollars, really appreciate that. See, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's about comic books. And The Serial Fanaticist. It's just about general nerdy discussions about lots of different stuff. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. I have decided to go undercover among the bugs in Florida to see where they go in the wintertime. So I believe scents are best used to communicate with them, and they will pass the message on to me, probably through scents as well.
No bugs in Canada. At least not yet.
Yeah, I imagine they're all frozen solid.
Yeah, not right now. I've been told that when it warms up, they come out again. But nothing right now. It's nice. That's the one nice thing about the cold.
Yeah, it kills off all the undesirables, right, Robbie?
All the undesirables. Oh wait, no, I don't mean that. That's me. That's bad. Don't say that. Uh-huh. That's awful. I don't agree. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching those episodes.
Shh.